Depression crept into Jessica Holmes' life so gradually she barely noticed the transformation. As a professional comedian who had always been the funny one, her inability to feel joy at the prospect of meeting her idol Oprah was the first undeniable sign something was wrong. Unlike her earlier bout with postpartum depression, this episode arrived without warning and disguised itself brilliantly. Waking up each morning felt like punishment, and activities she once loved became unbearable chores. What makes Holmes' journey remarkable is her ability to find humor in the darkest corners of her experience without diminishing its seriousness, a balancing act few can achieve when facing mental illness. Since childhood, I've documented life's absurdities, like collecting material for a personal sitcom. This habit began during a European trip when my grandfather, after we were scammed by a Parisian selling overpriced pleather jackets, offered wisdom that would shape my approach to life. Jess, we weren't paying for the jackets. We were paying for the story. This philosophy sustained me through challenges, from my Mormon missionary days in Venezuela, where I kept a funny journal of bizarre encounters, to my television career with its multiple canceled shows. The funny journal isn't just material for performances, but a therapeutic exercise that maintains perspective. By documenting absurdities, we transform painful moments into stories we control, emotional alchemy that turns lead experiences into golden anecdotes. During depression, however, this ability vanished. The mental filter that once transformed difficulties into humor instead blocked all positive emotions, leaving only doubt and despair. Depression cruelly strips away the very coping mechanisms we need most. When it finally lifted, rediscovering my joy and recording life's comedic moments felt like reuniting with an old friend.
How do you know when temporary funk has become clinical depression? For me, it was when I landed a dream opportunity to MC an event for Oprah Winfrey and felt nothing but mild interest. I had always lived by ambitious mottos, pushing toward impressive achievements. Yet success had become meaningless. My brain had transformed into a sieve, filtering out positive emotions, leaving only doubt and emptiness. Most days found me on the couch watching reality shows, avoiding friends and obligations. The world had lost its color. Depression's insidious nature allows it to coexist with professional competence. Despite my deteriorating mental state, I performed well at Oprah's event, experiencing an unnatural calm with none of my usual pre-show jitters. The emotional flatness plaguing my personal life created an eerie steadiness professionally. But afterward, when Oprah stood nearby, I froze completely, unable to even thank her for the opportunity. This experience revealed the fundamental limitation of positive thinking when facing clinical depression. No amount of vision boarding, affirmations, or gratitude journaling could fix what was essentially a medical condition. In response, I taped up a simpler mantra beneath my vision board, a line from Finding Nemo, "Just keep swimming." Sometimes survival itself is achievement enough.
Depression transformed normal self-consciousness into something far more sinister. I began calling myself Miss Piggy when looking in the mirror, feeling like an atrocity inside and out. The internal darkness colored everything I saw in my reflection, creating a feedback loop of self-loathing. Like many with depression, I tried fixing internal problems with external solutions. Online shopping sprees for eccentric clothes became temporary distractions, accumulating debt while packages piled up unopened. My desperate beauty treatments led to discount deals at questionable establishments, a laser therapy that made my rosacea flare up like a baboon's bottom, and a spray tan that left me looking like a brown turtle. Depression's cruelty lies in how it distorts perception. The person in the mirror becomes unrecognizable, not from actual physical changes, but from seeing ourselves through depression's warped lens. This distorted self-perception influences behavior, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. Years later, after recovery, I discovered exercise was the only beauty ritual that genuinely improved both appearance and self-perception. My focus shifted from how I looked to what my body could accomplish, a profound transformation.
Sometimes the greatest beauty treatment is learning to see yourself with kinder eyes. Marriage during depression transforms into something unrecognizable. My husband Scott and I had a charming beginning despite some awkward moments. Our fundamental differences, I was a busy mind with no off switch, while Scott was a peacekeeper who doesn't sweat small stuff, became amplified during my depression. When my condition was at its worst, I alternated between fury and apology with no middle ground for intimacy. Our sex life vanished, and in a moment of desperate clarity about what I was putting him through, I offered Scott a hall pass to seek intimacy elsewhere. He declined, showing a commitment I couldn't fully appreciate then. Depression clouded my professional judgment, too. Desperate to feel important again, we foolishly invested $150,000 in a friend's movie on credit, leading to years of financial anxiety. Depression builds invisible walls that prevent connection, even with someone physically present and emotionally available. Simple affection becomes irritating, well-intentioned help feels like criticism, and the emotional bandwidth for relationship maintenance disappears. Scott eventually suggested marriage counseling, which I initially resisted. His persistence in fixing our relationship ultimately became the lifeline that saved our marriage and helped identify my depression. Sometimes the people who love us see what we cannot. When I was a kid, my mom took me to watch the Ottawa Marathon. We cheered for everyone, especially the sparse trotters at the rear who kept moving despite being last. Their tenacity brought tears to my eyes. My own recovery wasn't simple. Medication helped with my postpartum depression, but only did diddly some this time. I needed a lifestyle overhaul. I started counting to three before tackling daunting tasks, began jogging, abandoned my depression diet of sorta food for actual meals, and switched to decaf coffee. Small accomplishments made me feel more like a boss with each step. My non-movie treat became pie making. Pinching crusts and pouring fruit with cinnamon creates a zen moment after failing at meditation. Talk therapy helped when despair tainted everything, while cognitive behavioral therapy taught me to identify successful behaviors. Coming off medication under supervision turned me into an emotional toddler. I now overreact to small things or overshare with cashiers. I'm painting with 24 colors instead of 12, happy crying at church notices and commercials. My marathon is prioritizing mental health above all. I've lost gigs by refusing overnight shoots, but new opportunities filled those gaps. We're building a support community, working to make mental health as stigma-free as brushing teeth. Sometimes I'm dumbfounded that I'm susceptible to depression despite the beauty around me. I'll always see the door to depression in the corner, but it's just a door I'm making sport of avoiding. Maybe our whole lives will be spent channeling our tenacity to find a clear path. How beautiful to discover we are the most optimistic of all.